Okay, once again, we want to continue our study. I've been looking at the observation of details as we study the scriptures, and again, the details of the Bible ought to greatly interest us. We need to ask all the time the questions of who, what, when, where, why, and how. In the parts of speech, and every word is a part of speech, helps answer those questions. We've looked at nouns, and they, of course, answer the questions of who and what. Looked at pronouns, they of course replace and refer back to nouns, and it's very important in reading the scriptures to always observe shifts in pronouns. It helps us to keep in mind who is speaking, to whom they are speaking, and of what they're speaking. So pronouns also answer the questions of who and what. There are adjectives which, of course, describe and define. They also limit nouns and pronouns. They provide information that is of great help in creating a picture in our minds, and they describe who and what. They give us details. They describe who and what. They tell us what kind something is, or which one, or how many, or how much. Again, these are all details that we should be interested in. Today we come to prepositions, and they show a relation, a relationship between a noun or a pronoun and some other word in the sentence. Really, they're connecting words, they're locating words. They answer the questions of where and when. But they also sometimes work or do the job as an adverb, and when they do that, they answer the questions of why and how also. So words are very important. Prepositions, like pronouns, are often overlooked, and that's not good, because in overlooking that, we miss some details. So it's very important that we notice prepositions. Again, they're usually words that many times are considered just insignificant, and words really that our eyes, if we're not careful, when we read, will just pass over. We won't even see them. And so we need to train ourselves at these little words, these pronouns, these prepositions. We need to so train our eyes that it's like they pop off the page, because they're very important in providing details. There are several functions. Again, we said every word has a function, has a job to do. There are several functions of prepositions. There are prepositions that tell us about time. Matthew 25, verse 6, at midnight, at is a preposition stating a time, at midnight. They also designate days and dates. Genesis 2 and verse 2, un is preposition, O-N, on the seventh day. Again, designating a day, designating a specific day. Matthew 12, verse 1, on the Sabbath day. Again, on is the preposition. Also, the word in is used to designate non-specific times. Non-specific times during a day, non-specific times during a month, non-specific times during a season or a year. Genesis 29:23, in the evening. In the evening. That's all we need to know. We don't need to know what time in the evening. We just need to know in the evening. In, of course, is the preposition marking time. Matthew 21, verse 8. Now, in the morning. In the morning. Then there are prepositions, again, still looking at time, that designate a starting point, that designate an ending point. Notice in Matthew chapter 1, and these are words that are very important in genealogies. But in Matthew 1, verse 17, so all the generations from Abraham, that's the starting point, from Abraham, from 2. 2 is the ending point. From Abraham to, it's a preposition, from and to are both prepositions. You have a starting point, you have an ending point. Abraham to David. The statement is made that these are 14 generations. And from David, we have a new starting point. From gives us a new starting point. Until, that is to designate up to a point of time. We use the word until, that designates up to a point of time. So from David, that's our starting point, until up to a certain time, that certain time being carried away into also is a preposition, we'll look at that later, into Babylon, our 14 generations. And from, again, new starting point, the carrying away into, another preposition, Babylon, unto Christ, our 14 generations. So there's words that mark time. There is the word after, to designate something that follows an event. When we see the word after, we have order, just as when we see the word before. In John chapter 13, John chapter 13, in verse 5, John 13, verse 5. In verse 4, we see that he took a towel and girded himself. After that, after is a preposition, marking an order of time, marking something that followed a previous event. Again, it's very important that we, when we see words that express order, it's very important that we keep track of order. After that, he poureth water into a basin. We also have the word before. Before. Mary was espoused to Joseph before. It's a preposition. Before they came together. That's very important. That's very important in our doctrine. Matthew 6, verse 8, talking about prayer. It says, before ye ask him, he knows what we need. Before we ask him. Again, there's order, and it states, it teaches us the truth that we are not informing God of anything. He answers us, or he knows what we ask before we ask him. Another word marking time in Exodus chapter 12, and we see this word, this phrase throughout the Old Testament, but in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 14, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations." Throughout your generations. Throughout is a preposition. It designates a continuous period of time. Throughout your generations. So, there are prepositions of time. There are prepositions of movement, prepositions of direction. Again, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 17. Matthew 1, verse 17. We see carrying away, about halfway through the verse, carrying away into Babylon. That's direction. But it goes on, into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ, notice, unto. So you have into, unto. Those are words that express direction. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, "The angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto Joseph, take unto thee." Again, there's movement, there's direction. Matthew chapter 8, verse 32, speaking of the demons, it says, "They went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down," which also serves as an adverb, but they ran down, that shows direction, "a steep place into the sea." You get a picture. You get a very vivid word picture looking at these prepositions. Matthew 12, verse 49, "And he," Jesus, "stretched forth his hand toward," toward is a preposition, speaks of movement, speaks of direction, "toward his disciples," and it creates a word picture in our minds of a group of men and Christ stretching forth his hand unto his disciples. Word pictures are very important. Very important that we're able to draw word pictures in our minds. And again, the only way you can do that is to observe words. In Matthew 13, "And he went through," that's direction, that's movement. Through is a preposition. "He went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward," another preposition, "toward Jerusalem." So again, we get a word picture in our minds. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 6, "When they had gone through the isle unto Paphos," through and unto, speaks of movement and direction. We see these prepositions of movement very frequently in Acts chapter 13, and as you read through the missionary journeys of Paul, and they're very important because they tell us what direction he's moving. Paul and his company in Acts 13 and verse 13, "Paul and his company loosed from Paphos," that was their starting point from what's being talked about, from being a preposition, Paphos, "they came to," another preposition, "Perga," in, another preposition, "Pamphylia," giving us more detail about Perga. It's in Pamphylia. Again, these are details. And John departing from, another preposition, them, returned to, another preposition, Jerusalem. So it is important that we recognize what to many appears to be insignificant words. There is no such thing. It's like there's no such thing as an insignificant piece in a puzzle. They all fit together. There's no such thing as an insignificant word in the Word of God. Every word is inspired by God. Every word. And we need to train ourselves to look at every word. And if people would do that, you would escape or you would avoid much foolishness. You would avoid much error. And as we read the Scriptures for ourselves, as we hear it read, we need to be observing. We need to train ourselves to observe the words. Observe what is being said. That's what reading is all about, observing. And yet, many today, they read without observing. And we just cannot stress enough the importance of observing every little word. Observe them all. And there's much food if we just come to the Word of God, ready to eat, ready to observe. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for how it is written. We thank you, Lord, that you write it, you have written it in such a way that we can understand. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that is our teacher. And we pray, Lord, that you would just help us always to lean upon the Spirit's direction and understanding your word. Lord, we thank you that you've given us access to your word and that we have the freedom and liberty to read it, to study it for ourselves, and to hear it. Lord, we pray today that you'd speak to our hearts through your word, that you would draw us closer to thee. Lord, that we might go from here more like thee, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.